Alrighty. I thought I had rid of this cold, and now I'm not so sure that I did. Look in tonight, Psalm 25. Would you, Psalm 25? Psalm 25. Now, there's a context to this verse, but I wanted to read it to you. And then we're going to look a few pages over in a minute as well. Notice verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses, look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. But he said there at the first, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we come to you again tonight, and there's an awful lot going on, Lord. There are folks that are in a battle, and we know that. Father, we're grateful for thy mercies. We pray you'd help us to not pity ourselves and look narrowly upon how you do things and when you do them and the way you do them. Father, you give us what is best for us. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Pray, Father, you'd give light and help to somebody here tonight. May you give us a clear vision of our attitudes toward things, what those attitudes should be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with the idea there, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Go over to Psalm 38 just a second. And I could read the whole passage, but I just kind of mainly wanted you to see kind of the spirit of it, I guess. Notice 38:1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. And then notice, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. And I can stop there because, you know, the rest of the passage pretty much goes along that line. What I wanted you to see there is with Psalm 25 saying, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. I wanted you to see more than anything else. I'm not being critical or disparaging. I am not saying that, I'm not denying the seriousness of the issue. And I'm not denying the legitimacy of the trouble. Would you notice though in there that there's an awful lot of Psalm 38. There's an awful lot of me, my's, and mine's. There's an awful lot of I's and me's in there, right? I'm pointing out to you here, just for the moment before we get started, I want to point out to you a attribute of human nature, and that is the fact that we tend to be myopic with our own problems, right? I mean, you've always heard about can't see the forest for the trees. That means you're so close to the trees that you can't see the forest, all you see is the trees. In your own troubles sometimes, my troubles, I'm the worst in the world, I tend to be myopic with things. I put on the blinders like a mule, and all I can see is my problem. And furthermore, I have a magnifying glass, and so I really see my problems big. All I can see is my problems. That's the way we are with things. You go to bed at night with your problems weighing on you. You wake up in the morning with the same burdens, and it just goes on and on, day in and day out, until hopefully your distresses are eased at some point or another. Well, again, my point is just that as a general trait, man tends to be myopic about his problems, and it's understandable. It's not necessarily a valued characteristic, but it's the way we're built, right? And when I say this, I hope you understand that I'm very well aware of where I'm standing. We have somebody that just recently died of cancer. We have another young man right now dying of cancer. And so I'm not saying that for folks that you're being occupied with your troubles is always wicked or wrong. Because again, if your child was dying, you would be occupied with that too. And I'm not preaching against that, okay? But at the same time, there are troubles that you and I have, that those troubles get bigger and bigger with the fretting and with the stewing and with the thinking about them and just being occupied with them all the time, right? Now, the title of this message is The Troubles of My Heart Are Enlarged. And I'm not sure it's entirely in context, the title from the text, but the idea is that in my heart, my troubles are always enlarged, right? You've been guilty like me of making a big deal out of something that's not that big a deal. But it's huge to you because it's your problem and you don't have anything bigger to worry about at the moment. Right? That in mind, I want to talk to you for a little while about that on these lines. First of all, I said this morning, we live in troublesome times. Latter days, perilous times shall come. You have a political atmosphere right now that's just poison. Again, our culture is just poisoned, right? And you can go down the line of economy, morals, spirituality, standards, anything you want to talk about, and things are not really very good. And any prudent man that has an eye on the Bible and the Holy Spirit inside him feels some anxiousness about where this is going. I say you shouldn't be scared and you shouldn't be overoccupied with it, but a prudent man at least has the measure of wisdom to know that something bad is coming down the pike somewhere and perhaps even to have some sort of preparations for it, right? On another note, the church, even our church, is just getting whacked upside the head all the time, it seems, right? I mean, I spend great swaths of my time dealing with problems in the ministry. Problems in the ministry, right? I don't know about you, but I still keenly feel the loss of some folks that I feel should still be here that left for the wrong reasons. Okay? I still, honestly, hurt for those that are paying a high price for really rotten decisions that they've made. You know, things pile up, things happen, as you well know, and it's never one thing at one time. It's always five or six things at once. Again, we had, for a period of time there, for a couple of years, a year or so, we had four folks in our congregation, this little congregation of, what, 150 or so? We had four folks going through a battle with cancer all at one time. And Ellen, of course, is now with the Lord, and Timmy is down near the end of his battle somewhere. But my point is, you know, that's quite a percentage, quite a proportion for a little church of 130 or 50 folks, right? So I'm going down there thinking about these things and how many other things that can be added on that you can talk about. And, you know, with those thoughts, it wouldn't be impossible for me to despair, you know, what is God doing, right? On top of it, the brethren are in a real fight. Some of you are going through stuff personally that you're fighting, you know, every day, and it just doesn't seem to go away. Well, with that backdrop in mind, this is the burden of what I have to say tonight. It's going to be short, okay? Well, presumably short. Intended to be short. But I have the opportunity to do something once in a while that a lot of you don't have an opportunity to do. And by that I mean once in a while, twice a year, three times a year, something like that. Try not to be gone too much. A pastor will call me up and ask me to come preach to his people for 5 or 6 days. And I've always figured that it was probably good for you to be relieved of me for a few days. Probably good for me to be relieved of you for a few days. But I'll tell you, sometimes what comes out of those meetings that we pastors don't necessarily sit down and talk about every problem in each other's churches. Otherwise, it would ruin the preaching, right? But it's invariable you sit down with a pastor when you're preaching for him, and you sense stuff from the congregation, and the pastor will eventually sit down at lunch one day and say something like, "What would you do in a situation like this?" And you know he's talking about something going on in his church, okay? Now, I, like I said, I go to those meetings, and you don't get to do that very much. If you go to another church, visit another church, you probably won't be as keenly aware of some problems as the pastor might make me aware as I preach in a meeting. Here's what I know. I know that churches all over this country are getting batted about real bad by the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you didn't believe in a spiritual warfare 20 years ago, bless God, you better believe in one today. And the fact of the matter is, but the burden of my heart to say tonight was that I go to those meetings and get to see some things. And you know what? Invariably, I come home realizing that I'd rather have my problems than his. I'm talking about the other pastors. Okay? Now, what helps with this is a visit to the hospital where a 4-year-old's dying. Okay? I mean, my problems may keep me awake at night sometimes, but I don't have a problem like the Littles do. Right? I don't have a problem like the Nelsons do. At least not yet. Now, you know, so I have a burden to say some things here tonight. In light of that, in light of the fact that I just got back from Brother Stewart's over in Battle Creek, Michigan, and please believe me, I'm not disparaging or criticizing his church or anybody else's for that matter, because this is across the board. But once again, I was reminded, coming home from Kalamazoo the other day, that, you know what, I can get bogged down in my troubles here, our troubles in the ministry. I have blinders on, I get the magnifying glass going. The fact of the matter is, I'd rather have mine than his. And I don't know how you feel about it, but when I think about those things, that's led me to about 3 conclusions here that I think will help you in whatever it is you're going through. First of all, it leads me to count my blessings. Okay? I invariably, and I don't mean just Brother Stewart's, I mean Brother Havman's, Brother Keck's, and frankly, once in a while, the Lord allows me to go down and preach a blowout in Pensacola. Now, you would think that was just pure heaven and that I would just love to stay down there forever, and that's not true. Invariably, I come back even from Pensacola more grateful for what I have here and grateful that I'm actually not in a permanent position of some sort there. I invariably come back from those meetings more thankful than when I left. I'm glad I have my problems and not that pastor's problems. Now, I'll say more about that in just a minute, but the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The problems that I have and the problems that you have are God's will for your life and my life. Okay? And I go sometimes and look at somebody else's problems, get a little bit of an evaluation that maybe you wouldn't just visiting their churches. And to be perfectly honest with you, I always come back valuing and counting my blessings more than desiring to be in their position. And let's just switch out. No, let's not. I'd rather have mine. I get to sit down sometimes or somebody calls, get to hear pastor stories. And, you know, pastor's distressed and troubled about what I should do now with this position, whatever. And the fact of the matter is, the more pastors I talk to, not just bad pastors of small, you know, hardly started churches, but I'm talking about Brother Keck, talking about Brother Havman, talking about Brother Nolan, talking about Brother Peacock. Honestly, folks, I would still rather have my problems than theirs. Okay? It leads me to count my blessings. I had a stroke in 2010, as all of you know very well. I can say that I did not despair. I did not feel despair. I did not feel despondent or grow despondent. Fact of the matter is, I knew there was nothing I could do, or frankly, could have done differently to avoid it. As far as I know, no doctor's ever said, if you had done this, you would have avoided this stroke, right? So, you know, I have no conscience about this at all, but I'll tell you this. During rehab, I was 6 months into rehab and back walking and driving myself and pretty much functioning, you know, well. And I was sitting down in the waiting room of the Sister Kenny Institute there at Mercy. And there's a lady that came down that had a stroke. She'd had a stroke 2 years ago, 2 years before me, had been rehabbing for 2 years. She had just gotten to the point where she could be in a walker, holding on to the walker and taking these little shuffle steps. I sat and watched her. It took her 10 minutes to go from the waiting room into the rehabilitation room. Okay. I'll take my problems above that. You see what I'm saying? It's not just the pastorate. It's a lot of things. See, the Lord gave me an opportunity to rebuild what I lost. Remember Esther? The great blessing in Esther was that the king found out Haman and all his wicked devices and all that. And then the king wrote a decree. And that decree gave the children of Israel, the Jews, the power and latitude, the license to fight for their lives. Now, I don't care how bad off you are. I don't know how badly your troubles have beaten you down, how often you've been defeated. But I can tell you this, unless you're on your deathbed, as far as I can see, the Lord has given you the latitude, the license, the propriety to still fight the battle. And you should be thankful for that. Right? I tell you, I go visiting here or there, and it leads me to count my blessings. Okay? Secondly, I'd like to say this. God gives me grace for my troubles and trials. Now, what I mean by that is I never, ever have left a preaching meeting anywhere after spending time with the pastor and spending time with the folks that I was thinking in my heart, I wish he and I could just switch. I wish I could have his job and his pay, and he could take my plane ticket, fly back to Minneapolis, and inherit my salary and my troubles and my ministry. I have never thought that. Okay? And the reason I say that is because, look, folks, I realize that the reason that's the case is because in my troubles, God equips me and gives me grace to deal with the troubles that He's given me. I don't get to choose, forgive me, but I don't get to choose the cards that He's dealt to me. I don't get to choose which trials I get to deal with. But invariably, I've learned that He's equipped me better than the next guy down the road to deal with the problems that I've been given. And He gives me grace to deal with the problems that I've been given. I do not desire somebody else's lot. Should I be able to switch with another pastor and inherit his ministry, his problems? Here's the deal. God wouldn't have done the work in me already that He has in him. He wouldn't have prepared me for the trials that that guy has. He wouldn't have given me grace to deal with the issues that guy has or the wisdom, because I wouldn't have been prepared for it. I'm inheriting something. We're trading off for switching. That doesn't work. That just doesn't work. Folks, I would not want Brian Donovan's job. Some might think that I would. I don't. Here, Doc is going to die one of these decades. Brother Donovan is presumably going to inherit that ministry along with the bookstore, along with the mission board, along with everything else that goes on. He's going to have to stand up and try to replace perhaps the best Bible teacher of our generation. Now, he's got 800 folks or 600 folks or whatever it is and all that kind of thing and all the notoriety. But, brother, I preached down there. I don't want his job. Okay, I don't want Lynn Nolan's ministry. I've talked to Lynn Nolan enough to know that God has given him grace to deal with some things in his church that I would be lost about because I don't have the equipment for it. I've not been equipped for it. I've not been given the grace for it. Okay? I saw this real plain here a couple of years ago. right after our four cancer fighters were diagnosed, I talked to a few pastors and, you know, well, how's it going, Brother Stevens? Well, I'll tell you what. We're getting hit hard right now, right? I said, you know, we've got, in our church, we have four different folks going through cancer treatments. Four different people have cancer. Two of them are kids, right? You know what the pastor say? Oh, man, I've never been through anything like that. I wouldn't want your job. You know what I learned? I mean, don't get me wrong, I take no pleasure in having those problems, but I don't wake up in the morning just hating my life for having to deal with those problems. But you know, those other pastors haven't been given the equipment or the grace to deal with 4 cancer victims at once. He's given me and you that. You're in the middle of the problem. He's equipped you for it. You cannot expect to get grace for something that you don't need. So you look at somebody else's issues and you go, oh man, I really wouldn't want that. But you're not there. You ever heard of dying grace? You ever heard of martyr's grace? And you sure hope it's real, right? I mean, if there ever comes a day you have to be tortured for Jesus Christ, you sure hope you get the grace that God gave those martyrs of old. Is that right? Listen, God gives me grace for my troubles and for my trials. I was at the hospital yesterday, and you know, it was a emotional, tearful thing. They thought Tenny was gone. They called me down there, and the nurses said, he's never going to wake up. Now, it turns out that he did. But I'm sitting there before he came back out of it and asked for milk and wanted to play. And I'm amazed. Here are the littles, Adam and Ashley. And they are calmly and fairly tearlessly, you know, saying their goodbyes to Tenny. I'm sitting there thinking, I've never been through that. How can this young couple have the strength and grace? Here are the Nelsons' grandparents standing by watching this happen. Here are the Williams standing by watching it happen. How can people have the grace, the strength to go through what those people are going through right now calmly and without hysterics? And the answer is grace. And their answer is that God gives you yours in your trouble when you need it. And if you are thinking that you would do better in somebody else's lot, you probably wouldn't. God gives me grace for my troubles and my trials. I hope that dying grace and a martyr's grace is real, because I've learned this through my whole stroke thing or whatever. God gave me grace not to despair. God gave me grace not to spend my time worrying and fretting. And I honestly really didn't. Marcy and I really didn't. In fact, I think some of you were shocked by the condition you found me in the hospital, because to us, we were there from the beginning. God was taking care of stuff, and we weren't worried about it. And I realized after that I looked a lot worse than I really felt. But I was not despondent. Why? I'd had a stroke. Well, brother, I'm telling you, the grace is real. Now, I don't know where you're at with your trials, but if you're spending all your time feeling sorry for yourself, self-pity, and in despair, I got news for you. That's a wrong tack to take. Okay? The reason God gave you your trials is because He wanted you to go through it. He gives you grace and strength to go through it. He equips you to go through it. Right? There's one last thing I'd like to say real quick. I'd like to say that it should lead me to hallow and sanctify my battles. My first reaction when stuff comes up, something that I don't want to deal with, is I'll just be glad when this is over. Maybe I'll just lay down, take a nap, and close my eyes and pretend that it's not here. Maybe it'll be gone when I wake up. Now, that's the way I am. That's probably the way you are. But listen, folks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You may be at times upset that you're asked to go through something that you have to go through. Well, I can tell you this. Whatever else is the case, my burden coming here tonight was to say that, first of all, when I go visit somebody else and get a little different perspective on my troubles and trials in the ministry, or my personal battles either for that matter, first of all, it leads me to count my blessings more than anything else, because I look at what some folks go through and what I got is not bad at all. The second thing is that I know that God gives me grace for my battles and troubles. Don't get me wrong, He doesn't always give me sleep all night long when the troubles are roaring, but He gives me grace and strength to go through it. He'll give you yours too. And lastly, It should lead me to hallow and sanctify my battles. When sickness comes and when trials happen and troubles arise, I know that often it doesn't seem like a hallowed, holy, sanctified situation. It's mainly just inconvenience, right? And I'll remind you, there are no soundtracks to the movie of your life. I mean, you know, in Hollywood, when somebody's going to go through something terribly trying, there's always music in the background to help us out. Well, I got news for you. There are no movie lights, and there is no soundtrack in life. Okay? But I'll tell you what. You should consider that if there is a will of God, and there is, and if you are a child of God, He has a will for your life. And if there is special grace, and if I'm ill-equipped to switch with Brother Keck or Brother Nolan or Brother Donovan or whatever, then I should consider I have been entrusted with this particular packet of trouble. When I'm called to go through trials, the Lord has entrusted me as a steward to be handed this. He didn't hand my troubles to Harley Keck. He didn't hand my exact troubles to Lynn Nolan. He handed them to me. This is my hallowed, sanctified battle to fight. I don't care if it's temptation in the flesh for you. I don't care what it is. I'm telling you that, you know, I got thinking a little bit about the meeting with Brother Stewart over there. And we had a good time and ministering to his people and all, but his people are a lot different than our folks. By that I mean demographics. He has no kids in his church. He has a lot of older folks in his church and a lot of folks that are kind of down and out. He has kind of a prison ministry going there. Brings a lot of folks, you know, to, you know, service from prison and stuff. And it's just different. It's just a different feel. And sitting there talking to him about stuff he's going through, I realize God has equipped him and given him grace for the problems that he's got. And God hasn't given me that same grace. God's given me grace to deal with stuff we got going here. And for me to want to switch with him is an exercise in futility because it would never work. And besides all that, he considers his battle holy. And the fact is, I consider mine holy here. This is what God has called me to deal with. And, you know, it's heartbreaking, but for whatever reason, the Lord Jesus Christ gave Adam and Ashley Little this problem to deal with. Now, I've prayed for a long time that Adam and Ashley, in losing Tenny, if they did lose Tenny, wouldn't grow bitter at God about it. Okay? Because this battle, this trial, it's a holy, sanctified thing. It's where God calls a man to get on his knees and keep a right heart about dealing with something really hard. When decisions don't go your way, when you don't get your way, and when you think it should have been done different, either by a man making the decision or God making the decision, it's probably time for you to grow up well enough to not just hide your head and hope the trouble is gone by tomorrow when you wake up. It's time for you to grow spiritually to the point that you realize God has given this thing to you to wrestle with. And you might as well consider it holy ground, just as Moses considered and was told, frankly, that the ground before that burning bush was holy ground. Take your shoes off. Get on your knees. Quit trying to just get out of it. Quit taking an aspirin, a painkiller, just to escape it. And consider it holy, sanctified ground. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Do you really? We talked about providence this morning. Do you really think it's an accident that God gave you the issues that you have? Do you really think that it's an accident that the Lord asked, or really didn't ask, but told you that this is what you're going to go through, and you're just going to have to deal with this and keep a right heart? It's not an accident. It's hallowed ground. It's sanctified ground. You know, you think about what Ian's gone through and Jacqueline's gone through, the littles, and you talk about all the various ins and outs of you raising your kids in the teenage years and dealing with the brethren and all this kind of stuff. You tend to want to blame somebody. You tend to want to get away from it. You get frustrated. You get irritated. You get offended. I'm telling you right now, that's the wrong attitude. You should consider those problems hallowed. God has invested in you that you should deal with these things in a sanctified manner, solve them over perhaps months, perhaps years, but consider them hallowed problems because they're yours. He's given them to you to deal with. He didn't give all Brother Keck's people the same issues that He gave some of you. I'm not saying that sin is different one place to the next or that trials differ a lot. I'm saying that if He's given you something, He expects you to deal with it. It's hallowed ground. It's sanctified ground. Self-pity will destroy you on that ground. Bitterness will destroy you on that ground. It's not hallowed. It's not sanctified if you allow yourself to go down the road of self-pity. Self-pity, bitterness, spiritual cantankerousness, despair, or where you envy somebody else. I don't envy Brother Keck's ministry. I don't envy Brother Nolan's ministry. I don't envy anybody's ministry. I'm called to minister here to whatever blessings or whatever issues arise here. And last I checked, most all of you have joined this church. And you know what joining this church meant? It meant you were invested here and answerable here. And it means that in effect, that what comes down the pike in your life or in this ministry is something got in the will of God by providence that God's entrusted you to deal with right. It's sanctified holy ground. It is. It is. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Like I said, I go visit somewhere, I talk to some people with their problems, and it makes me more thankful for what I have. It makes me realize that God has given me grace to deal with my problems, and I can't expect to have grace to deal with somebody else's. I can't expect somebody else to have grace to deal with mine. God gives me strength and prepares me to deal with my own. And I should be led to consider these trials hallowed, sanctified. What God's called me to do. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will. Quit fighting against God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we've been a little short tonight. We pray that You might give us these thoughts. We've preached many times, Lord, through these months on issues that arise and problems and troubles and trials, Lord, and maybe folks are tired of hearing about it, but at the same time, Lord, we keep getting whacked on, Lord. These are troublesome times, and these last days are perilous indeed. We pray, Father, that You might help our hearts to be right in these things. It's easy to envy somebody else's lot, thinking that we would do better if we were there or here or whatever, and the fact of the matter is that's not true. God equips us and leads us and gives us grace to carry out what You want us to do here. We sometimes feel inadequate, that's for sure. We feel uncomfortable with being stretched so far in things that we are uncomfortable with. But Father, we have to believe that these things You've called us to go through are sanctified and hallowed things, and we should consider them holy and do them unto the Lord our God. Father, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, eyes closed for just a couple of seconds here. Now, I don't know, maybe the Lord dealt with you about something in all this. I know there's no shortage of cares, concerns, and troubles. You only have to look around to find somebody going through something That's pretty trying. And I also know that there's plenty of you in here right now listening to my voice that have been through some hard things and hard... Sometimes it's been about a decision. Sometimes it's been about something the Lord's dealt out to you that you would just as soon not have seen. It's been about timing. It's been about piling on. It's been about not one thing or two, but three things at once. We can't control what cards we're dealt. Again, if you'll forgive the analogy, you don't control the cards you're dealt. The Lord delivers you certain trusts, and you have to do the right things with those. Let's look this way and turn to number 390, 390. Appreciate you being here tonight. I'll keep you informed as soon as I know anything more about Tenney over this next few days here. Bryce, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, we all go through these things, and it's hard for us. Heavenly Father, I think about the family, the problems, the rest of us that are going to be. I can speak for myself in your grace and never.
Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you Wednesday, Lord willing.